Well, that's Les Brown for you, and what an awesome interview that was. Well, let's take some time now and really go into some of the wisdom and some of the knowledge that he shared with us. First of all, let's stop and think about Les's background. You're looking here at a black man born in Liberty City. That's like the Harlem of Florida, adopted. What do you think the odds are of him succeeding? I think most people agree they're pretty slim. But besides all that, Les was able to put that behind him and go forward. And that's a lot easier said than done. I like a point that Les mentioned. He said, don't allow the things that you've gone through, the negative experiences in your past, to define your future. Now, I think we'll all agree that's a lot easier said than done, but Les proved that's possible. When you think about it, we're all the sum total of everything that we've ever experienced from the day that we were born to this very moment. Sometimes that programming is, you know, parents, grandparents, mother, religion, culture, and it's our choice as to how we're going to allow these things to program us. One of the ways I like people to look at this, I share with them an example of if I were to take a video camera and video their life from the day they were born to this very moment, we would be able to take out a lot of the negative clips, make a movie on just the negative experiences from a person's life, and it would be pretty depressing. On the other hand, we could also take out the clips of very positive, very good times, the happy times, and have a very happy, inspirational movie. It's our choice as to which movie we care to pull out. What Les's choice was to put this stuff, the negative junk, behind him and move forward. And you stop and think about this. Not only did he have all these odds against him, he went from the fifth grade, what did he say, to the fourth grade, and then he failed the eighth grade and was put back again. That's the guy's failed twice. I mean, stop and think about that. That's a lot of times. A lot of negative things. Then he's told on top of this that you're retarded. The odds were definitely against him. But he had another good point that I'm going to remember this one. He says, you don't get out of life what you want. You get out of life what you are. Interesting. So what does he mean by that? We all say we want certain things, but are we capable of attaining those things by who we are? In other words, do you have the value? Do you have the ethics? Do you have the integrity? So work on the internal person and the external things will come. Did you catch the point when I asked Les, what motivated you? Before I was able to finish my sentence, he stepped right on me and told me his mother. And you could see that he truly loved his mother, and you could see how that was a motivating factor for him. So because he had such a hard life and because he saw how hard his mother worked for he and the kids, he made it a point that he was going to do something to make sure that his mom was proud of him. And I tell you what, there's no question about it. Any mother would be proud to have someone like Les as a child. And notice, too, in that conversation, Les said nothing about money. He never said, well, you know, I had it so bad, I wanted to make sure I made a lot of money so I could never be like that again. I didn't want my kids to go through this. His main motivating factor was his mother. And because of that, he used that as leverage to become very successful financially. So what's your leverage? What's your motive to continue to work hard and grow your business and become successful financially and also successful in life? You need to know those things and need to have those things in front of you on a consistent basis. And it doesn't necessarily need to be money, obviously. And for Les, it was not that, and it was nothing near money. It was his mother. So clearly know what your motivation is. If I were to ask you a question just off the tip of your tongue right now, what motivates you? Are you able to answer that question? You must know what motivates you. It needs to be on the tip of your tongue at all times, because if you don't know what motivates you specifically and clearly, how can you stay what? How can you stay motivated? We next switched over to the topic of what were his strengths and his weaknesses. He quickly and openly admits both of them. His strengths, no doubt, is his speaking ability, and I think you would certainly agree with that just by listening to him. If you haven't seen him at a seminar, make sure you do. It's a powerful experience. His weakness, and he openly admits that too, is the business end of things. Why? Well, basically, when you start off the way Les did, you don't really have a lot of people to mentor you. You don't have the money to hire people to come into your company that are the top or the best people. And because of that, he knew he could do one thing. He could focus on his strengths. Interesting concept that he had. He said, and he felt, that he could earn more money being a powerful or being a good speaker than the money that he would lose because of the lack of knowledge that he might have in business, or maybe the lack of hiring the right people, knowing that they may, you know, make a wrong decision and lose money for him. And he has done that. It's happened to him. He's shared those experiences with me. And there's some big money there that he's lost. But on the other hand, his thinking is, if I can master my ability to speak and take an audience and teach them things and share them things and give them an incredible experience, that's going to go on and on and on. He's going to get more business, and that's going to far overpass the amount of money that he would lose. And he was so right about that. So stop and think about that for yourself. Yes, if we want to be successful in business, we have to also understand business. But before that, what about the product or the service that you're trying to sell? Can you do that so well that it may far surpass the amount of money that you could possibly lose due to some of your weaknesses in business? This is what Les's strategy was, and it worked for him, and he focused so much and so hard on his speaking ability. So don't be overwhelmed or discouraged that, you know, I don't know about how to do this and how to do that and how to do all these things in business. Les Brown didn't either. He focused on the very thing that he knew he could make money at, and that was his ability to speak. And because of that, all the other things have started coming to him. And like he says now, because of his influence, he's able to attract people that now he can pick and choose who he wants within his organization as a team member to help him continue to grow his business. Very powerful strategy. I remember some time ago, Les and I, we were talking about something. And I said, Les, but you know, why are you allowing something like this? I mean, you're going to lose some money here. And Les said, Gary, I know it's going to happen. I can't focus my negative energy on something like that. Sooner or later, it'll get taken care of. And he said that just as relaxed and nonchalant as possible, and he still to this day, he focuses on that ability to speak as he continues to take care of the internal challenges within a business. One of the questions I wanted to make sure that I threw at Les is how he dealt with the hard times, because I know he's been through quite a bit of things. As he mentioned in that interview, his mother had died, he had gotten a divorce, he had been offered, what, $7 million for a talk show, and that canceled on him right away, so he lost all that. And he had a very good point, and I'd like to remember this one myself personally. I think you should too. What did he say to do with the good times? He says, the good times you put where? Yeah, you put them in your pocket, bank them, bank that cash. The hard times, you got to put them in your heart. Words of wisdom. Again, the good times put in your pocket, and the hard times put in your heart. That statement obviously is telling us we're going to have what? We're going to have both. We're going to have the good times and the hard times, and you've got to learn to handle both of them. Then one of the things I enjoyed that he mentioned was the fact that he said, once you find your passion, you must play that game. So what is your passion? Do you know what your passion is? You can't play the game if you don't know what your passion is. And he says, once you figure that out, then you must play it all the way through. So many people, they think they know what their passion is and they say they know what their passion is, but what happens? They get a little bit of that rejection or frustration or some of the hard times instead of putting in their heart. Where do they put it? They put it away and go try something else, and they go back and forth and back and forth. In other words, they're never like a what? Never like a stamp. They don't stick to one thing. So do what Les is suggesting here. Find your passion, play the game, and see it all the way through. Stop and think about it. Whatever it is that you're doing now in your business, whatever the business that you've chosen, if you've already chosen one at this point, are you committed to see that all the way through to the point that you achieve that level of success that you wanted or designed or created or thought of before you got into this business? Something to think about. And as Les says, there are no guarantees. And because of that, he also encourages us to smell the roses along the way, because there really are no guarantees in life. And that's why I encourage people to make sure that they understand what success is. Success is a journey, not a destination. Remember, if you don't smell the roses along the way, you're defining success as a destination. If you look at it as a journey, you can enjoy the process a lot better. People who look at success as a destination, they don't obviously admit it. You can tell those people because they're never happy. They want to get to this level and it's not good enough. They want to get to this level, it's not good enough. And when you do that, you cannot smell the roses on the way. But if you look at success as a journey, all those little spots that you get to, positive or negative, are just part of the game. And we want to learn to enjoy and smell the roses throughout the entire process. Let's also mention that a lot of things don't happen in the time frame that we want them to. And that's for sure. We always want it when? Now. And it always doesn't happen that way, does it? It takes some time. And sometimes there's some delays. But as Les said, a delay is not a denial. Some people look at it that way. And Les made a very important point, because some people think a delay is a denial. What do? They stop and quit. If he's already admitted to us that there are going to be good times and there's going to be hard times, wouldn't it make sense then that some of these hard times may be some delays? And these delays are not denials, and that doesn't mean to stop and give up. Do you have the pattern of doing that? Do you have the pattern of thinking, well, I want something at this time, it doesn't happen, and because it doesn't happen, you've got that delay, maybe now you've converted that into a denial, do you have the tendency to slow down, stop, or quit? If you do, that's certainly a pattern that must be changed, because we want, as Les said, we want to see it through. So what does he mean by see it through? What did he say? He says you have to lean into it and experience the pain. Well, what do we usually have the tendency of doing as humans? We like to take the course of what? Least resistance. So when we have the hard times, what do we want to do? We want to run away from it. What's Les telling us to do? He says, hey, lean into the pain and experience it. I know for me personally, some of my most creative money-making ideas and life strategies have come to me through having the what? The hard times. Sometimes when things get so bad and so difficult and so challenging, as long as you're willing to see it through, you can be very, very creative with regards to what you can do to get to that next level. And unfortunately, sometimes we have to have those hard times to get those creative juices flowing. I think about some time ago, a couple of our friends, we were in the Caribbean, and there's a part of this island that we go to, and every morning the tide gets very, very low. You could probably walk out as much as a quarter of a mile, and every so often you'll see a little inlet where there's a dip of water in there where it goes out to the ocean, but of course at the beginning of that is sand where the tide has gone down. And my friend and myself, we happened to see 6 baby blacktip sharks. Now, that was fun for me because I wanted to see if I could actually try to catch one or touch one. It was not, you know, like a 6-footer. It was quite small. So the both of us, we found one in that inlet, and we started to go ahead and get ready to corner it. And we walked closer and closer to it. Now, at any time, that shark could have swam right between our legs or between us and escaped. But as we walked closer to it, it tried to swim further away. As it swam further away, the water got more shallow, and it got shallower and shallower and shallower. He got to the point that we got so close to him, he was running out of water. He could feel the sand on his belly, and instantly, I've never seen a fish go this fast. He turned around, and he bolted right between my legs. Now, could he have done that earlier when we started to corner him? Absolutely, but he waited till the hard times, and that's when he figured out how to solve things. Unfortunately for us sometimes, when we get those really hard times, as long as we're not going to give up, and this shark wasn't going to give up. He knew he was going to get out, but he waited to the hard times before he did the 180 and he bolted out of there. That's many times when we get our most creative ideas. So as Les says, when the hard times come, do yourself a favor, just lean into it and experience the pain. In tough times, though, Les openly admits that it's okay to ask for help. Why? He says, ask for help not because you're weak, but because you want to remain strong. And then he says, don't stop until you get it. And what did he say stops people from asking for help? It's pride. Yeah, we got to put that pride away, because if we don't ask for help, you know, as my millionaire mentor says, Manu Matana, and you'll hear it later on if you haven't heard it yet, is no man is an island, and we always have to get each other to work together as a team. We all need help. It's just part of being human. It's part of staying strong, as Les said. He mentioned the example of Walt Disney. He had hard times. He failed 7 times. In other words, bankrupt 7 times. How many times have you been bankrupt? Once? Maybe twice? 3 times? I don't think I've ever met anybody individually that has filed bankruptcy 3 or 4 times. 7 times, Les says he filed. Not one nervous breakdown, but 2 nervous breakdowns. Interesting. So when you think about, you know, there's no way I can do this, it's not going to happen, look how bad things are, look at somebody like Les, look at somebody like Walt Disney. And you know what? If you haven't had 7 bankruptcies and had 2 nervous breakdowns, you're well ahead of the game. Les also mentioned, unlike his point, he says, rolling over and dying is not an option. He says, you make your destiny to come back. You have to expect to come back, expecting things to get better. See, a lot of people, when things get hard, they don't think that way. And this is a great way Les is encouraging us to think. When things get bad, down all the way to the bottom, you just think there's no way out like that shark. You have to expect to come back, and you have to expect things to get better. So try that one on for size. Maybe you could make a note there or put something on a post-it note or an index card where it says, when things get bad, I expect them to get better. I expect to come back. See, if you're feeling pretty good about things right now, that's okay. I mean, it's always easy to think about coming back and doing better when you're already doing well, but it's when things are bad. That's when it's hard to expect for things to get better. So you can expect that now if things are doing good. You can say, you know, if things get worse for me, yeah, I'm that type. I can expect them to get better. But do you really do that? Are you really capable of doing that? And when things do get hard, sometimes it's hard to even remember to think that we should expect to come back and we should expect things to get better. I also wanted to find out from Les what he thought were the top excuses that he heard with regards to people saying they're not successful or can't be successful. And he pretty well hit it on the nail. I thought it was a real good one. People accept life as it is. Isn't that terrible? Can you imagine accepting life as it is? We have to demand more from ourselves. We need to demand so much from ourselves because, number one, we're so capable of doing it. It's like Les what he said earlier. If he asked people, if you had to do it all over again, could you accomplish more? The answer is yes. And he says, well, then why? Why don't you? Do you demand more from yourself, or do you just expect life as it is? One of the worst things that we can do is cheat ourselves and our families and our friends to accept life as it is. I like the term that Les used. He calls it possibility blindness. See, Les is a firm believer that it's possible, and he should be because he's made it possible, but people have that blindness. They don't have that possibility, eye-opening experience. They lack vision. Vision is the ability to see well ahead and not only see ahead, but see it very clearly. Goals can put you ahead maybe 3 months, 6 months, a year, but you need to have lots of goals in the future that create a vision. So do you have possibility blindness, or can you really see what's possible for you 6 months from now, 1 year from now, 5 years from now? You're not going to be able to do that if you accept life as it is. Great thing for him. I also wanted to know what his present motivation was. So his first motivation, and if you could call it his first stage, if you will, of his life, was his mom. Wanted his mom to be very proud of him, and he made sure he accomplished that. The next thing now, in this stage of life, if you will, he wants to go ahead and make sure he works hard to raise funds for breast cancer because that's how his mother died. He wants to make men very aware of prostate cancer and make sure they have themselves checked. I'll have Les tell you how you get checked for that, but anyway. And he also wants to help other speakers. He wants to continue his legacy, and I know he certainly does that. I have met, I mean, every city or every state I go into, someone comes up to me and says, yeah, I'm a good friend of Les Brown's, and he's helping me in my speaking, or they call me, and also Les, you know, puts them in touch with me so I can assist them, and Les has certainly done that for me. So Les is a firm believer in giving, giving, giving. He loves to help people and do things for other people, and he makes that very, very obvious if you ever have the opportunity to meet Les. In this interview, one of the most impressionable things that Les shared with me, in fact, it was so impressionable, I think I had him say it 3 times. It was a time that he was sitting in that audience and he was listening to the speaker, and he said the speaker was like the most boring speaker, but he had made over $10 million and he wanted the audience to listen up. So Les was waking everybody up so they could understand one thing as to why he became so successful. Do you remember what that thought was? That speaker said that he represents the thoughts that you have rejected for yourself. That is powerful. He said, I represent the thoughts that you have rejected for yourself. So why did you invest in this program? Because you rejected the thoughts that other people have rejected for themselves. See, other people said, oh, I don't need to invest in myself. I don't need to get into personal growth. I don't need to learn about this. But you see, you rejected that thought. So why is it that you're successful at whatever it is that you do? Because you represent the thoughts that others rejected. That is what makes us successful. There's other people out there that have the thoughts of wanting to be successful, about wanting to get to the next level, about wanting to not accept their way of life, about demanding more for themselves, but they have rejected those thoughts and you have it. And that's why you're listening to this program. Let me repeat that point one more time, that statement that Les said. He said that that person that was on stage said, I represent the thoughts that you have rejected for yourself. That's a good one. I enjoyed Les's comment when I asked him his take on discipline. He said that you have to know the why for living. See, the more you know why or what your purpose is, the more discipline you're going to have to keep going forward toward that goal of yours or that vision that you need to have. So that's a good point. So do you know why? What's your purpose? What's your sense? Why do you do what it is that you do? And if you know that why, you're going to have that discipline. Also, he said, be willing to pay the price and move with a sense of urgency. Now, I like that point about be willing to pay the price. Before you can be willing to pay the price, you have to know what the what is. Yeah, you've got to know what the price is. So one of the things that I encourage people to do is before they set a goal, before they write down what they think their goal is, they need to first write down what the price is that they may have to pay to attain that goal. One of the ways to find that out is to ask people, well, what's involved in getting to this level? You have to do this, this, and this, and that. Then you need to write all that down. Then you ask yourself, am I willing to pay that price? If you are willing to pay the price, then be what? Then be willing to pay the price and move with a sense of urgency. When I'm at work, if I'm at work for 3 hours, I'm going to work 3 hours. If I'm at work for 8 hours, I'm going to put in 8 hours. And if I'm at work for 8 hours, I'm not going to work for one or two or three and goof off for the rest. Because a lot of people don't have very strong work ethics. What they do is they think they're working for 8 hours, but no, they're just existing in their office or wherever it is or whatever it is that they do for 8 hours, but they're only maybe doing 2 or 3 hours worth of work in 8 hours. Make sure you don't fall into that trap. Les also says, don't think it strange if you don't fit in. If people think, you know, you're starting your own business, you're doing what? You're in sales, and they're looking at you as if you're strange and you're doing the right thing. See, strange people think outside of the box. More importantly than thinking outside of the box, their actions are ones that take actions outside of the box. See, thinking outside of the box is one thing. Anybody can do that. It's just a thought. But rewarding that thought or acting on that thought, that's the difference between the thinking and the action. Anybody can think outside of the box. That's fun to do. But can you act outside of the box? And the more you act outside of that box, the more you have the juices flowing, the more you demand of yourselves, the more strange you're going to become to the people that don't think the way you do. And that's really the people you don't want to be around. As Les says, you've got to align yourself with the right people. So how do you know who is the right person and how do you know who's the wrong person? Well, if you're acting outside of that box and people think you're strange, those are probably the people that you don't want to align yourself with. If you're acting outside of that box and somebody's saying, hey, good job, even though it's hard and you had some hard times, keep going forward. If you have somebody like that willing to think and act outside of the box as you are, well, then that's the type of people that you need to align yourself with. I really like his advice when it comes to balancing life. He says you've got to enjoy life along the way. And we touched on that, making success a journey, not a destination. He says, don't let the little boy or the little girl die inside of you. Have you? Have you let the little girl or the little boy inside of you die? If you have, wake that child up. If you can't act like a little kid once in a while, life can really be dull and dreary. You know, I remember when I was 20 years old, because I've always been a very, very childish. I used to have people say, why don't you act your age? You're so immature. And I remember in my 20s, people telling me that. And I consciously made a decision that I would never grow up. And when I was in my 30s, people say, man, you're so childish. Now that I'm older, people just think I'm funny, I guess. I don't know, or stupid. But I don't really care because I will refuse to let the little boy die inside of me. You know, what's neat about Les, he's not just telling us this. He's actually doing it. I mean, when Les and I get around, we can really crack up and be pretty stupid. But you know what? We're going to make sure we don't let the little boy die inside of us. Les is big in his laugh. You've heard his little laugh. He's got it down, man. When Les laughs, he's enjoying himself. And he makes sure that he does a lot of things in life to get that laughter. Another thing that he does to make sure he maintains his balance, he likes to accomplish things. And when you accomplish things, you're going to find that you're also a lot happier. So what's some of the keys to being happy? Accomplish things and laugh. and make sure you don't let that little boy or that little girl die inside of you. Refuse that. Not going to happen. So we started to talk about customers. What does a customer mean to Les? We're switching gears now. I enjoyed Les's perception as to what a customer means. Les said to exceed their level of expectation. Build lifelong relationships through your products and your services. And he said that the customer is the lifeblood of a business. I mean, stop and think about it. If you cut yourself and you kept on bleeding and bleeding and bleeding, sooner or later you would what? You would die. Cut a customer off and you keep cutting them off, sooner or later what's going to happen to your business? It's going to die. And that's why he says that a customer is the lifeblood of a business. He says to know the customer. And he also related an experience that he heard with regards to how to treat a customer. Remember what that was? He said that a lady said that it's not our intention to please or satisfy the customer. It is our intention to amaze them. Do you just please or satisfy your customer? Or is it your intention to go beyond the call of duty, deliver more than you promise, and amaze them? So my question to you would be, how would you specifically amaze a customer? What I would strongly suggest you do after you finish listening to this segment of the program, if you're in business, if you sell a product or a service, I would like you to stop and write down what you can do to amaze a customer. First, before you do that, though, write down what you can do to please and satisfy your customer, and then write down after that what you could do to amaze the customer and see what the difference is. Often in my office, because I've heard Les say this before, when somebody's on the phone and they've just finished up on the phone with a customer or a client, I'll ask them, what did you do to amaze that customer? And they'll think about it. And I'm doing this so they can continue to emphasize in their minds, don't only please or satisfy the customer, do something to amaze them. Whether it be verbally, calling them back, make sure they got their product, is everything okay, including a little freebie, whatever it is, go beyond the call of duty. I may have mentioned this earlier in this program, but I remember going to Taiwan. You talk about people who amaze the customer, and they appreciate the customer, and they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the customer really is the lifeblood of their business. I remember going into a little store, just like a convenience store, and I asked somebody where, I don't know what it was, maybe it was a toothpaste. Where's the toothpaste? They just don't point to you where the toothpaste is. They walk you over to the aisle and show it to you. What a difference. Customer service. See, I could be pleased or satisfied if they said, oh, sir, it's just right over here on that aisle down to the left. But no, they went beyond that and they amazed me by coming around the corner and they said, follow me. They took me exactly to the section where I needed to go. That is how you amaze the customer. So think about that. What are some of the ways that you personally can go beyond pleasing and satisfying your customer and get to the point where you literally amaze them? And one of the things that you're going to enjoy later on is my continuing interview with Manu Mattani. That man knows how to amaze a customer, and because of that, he has been very, very successful in his business. And when I asked Les about marketing strategies, how important marketing was, he says it's very important. But what was interesting with Les when he first started in his business, because he had no money, he could not afford expensive marketing materials, color brochures or anything like that. So he made sure that his speaking ability, his presence on the stage, that was his marketing, the word of mouth. People would say, wow, he did a great job. He's very good at this. He's good at that. And they would talk and talk and talk. Oh, you need to bring him into your organization. And that's how he used his ability to market. Marketing strategies are very important. Les had a good point here. He said there were two types of marketing strategies. I like that. I haven't heard this one before. He says there's the push strategy, and then he says there's the pull strategy. So the push strategy is one where you're knocking on doors, you're sending brochures out, you're sending your literature out, you're sending sample, products out, and you're pushing to get in the door. The pull strategy is completely opposite of that. It's because of your word of mouth or maybe because some of the marketing that you've done, people are coming to you. They're pulling you into their company to do business with you. Good strategies. We need both of them. And what's interesting, Les did not have the money for the push strategy. He did not have marketing materials and videos and CDs and, you know, what have you, the things that he has now. So he had to do the pull strategy. He made sure he got in front of people, did a very, very good job. People talked. They went to their companies, their offices, their groups, and they said, hey, we need to pull him in. We need to bring him in. So you want to make sure you do both strategies, but the easiest to get started with if you don't have any money is go out and push, 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 push. Well, what Les did, he kind of reversed it. He wanted to do such a good job that people wanted him and they pulled, pulled, pulled. They pulled him in. So Les now really does both strategies, but he really focuses more on the pull strategy and does a very, very good job at it. So what about you? What you can do is if you market yourself effectively, you can really change from the push strategy to the pull strategy. The pull strategy is where people are coming to you. The push strategy is where you're going to them. Now, depending on the business that you're in, some people, for instance, if they're in door-to-door sales, they're specifically probably going to be in the push strategy, especially if their product or service is very high priced. But try to get your marketing to such a point that people can come to you and you can pull people into your business, product, or opportunity. I asked him what he thought about networking, and he really believes how powerful networking is, and I'm a firm believer in that myself. You've got to learn from others, others in your industry, other people in other industries. You've got to connect with them. This is what networking is about. I would say a very large part of the conversations that Les and I have personally, whether it be over the phone or face-to-face, is all about networking. We're constantly sharing leads and ideas with each other. I'll ask him about a particular source. Can I get the name of that person? He'll ask me about the same, or he'll tell me about something. I'll get his opinion on something. He'll get my opinion, and this is how we network. Make sure you're doing the same. You've got to network. And I believe this very much so, that it's not often what you know. You know what I'm going to say, don't you? It's not often what you know, but it's who you know. There's been many times I have tried and tried through the push strategy to get into a company and have had absolutely no success. And because of one person I knew, maybe it'd be Les or somebody else, they knew another person in that company or the person that I was trying to get in contact with. And because of that connection, I was right in. Yes, so many times it's not what you know, but who you know. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this segment of the program as much as I've enjoyed putting it together and spending time with Les Brown. If you'd like to say something or share a comment with Les because of what you've heard, maybe there's something that he said that really made an impact in your thinking or your life, feel free to email us and I'll make it a point to get it to Les so at least he will see it. Unfortunately, we're unable to respond to these emails because we get so many of them, but you can be assured that he will see the email.
I'd just like to say, finally, this has been Mrs. Mamie Brown's baby boy, Leslie Calvin Brown. It's been a plum-pleasing pleasure as well as a privilege. Thank you, Gary.